I'm Michael, I'm a compulsive eater. So grateful to be at this Rotary Club meeting. Thanks for being here. This Rotary Club? Just kidding. trying to be funny there. Grateful to be here. This is the kind of thing where you volunteer and you're excited, then when it comes up, it's like, did I volunteer for a root canal? It was kind of scary. But it's an honor, and I really am honored. This is an honor for me. I want to thank Judith. Thank you, Judith, for inviting me. It's a real pleasure. So I'll tell you a story, you guys. So I moved on November 8th, and I went to a meeting because I needed to do a makeup meeting because it was behind. So I went to the Wednesday night, I think it was Wednesday, and I saw Judith, and I came in late, and I was disheveled, and everyone kind of looked at me when I came to the meeting, you know. And what do you get out of it? You get an invitation to speak at the Attitude of Gratitude. It was really cool. I really appreciate that. I guess I wish I could give you more than I might be able to give you today. It's been a long week. It's been ever since I moved on November 8. November 8 was ironically my 16-year abstinence anniversary in OA. I weigh and measure all my foods without exception, no sugar, no flour of any kind. That was my 16-year anniversary. And ever since then, I've just been kind of wobbly. You know, it's a little bit wobbly, but hanging in. This is a great opportunity. During this time, I was able to, I moved, and then I'm a musician. I got to play a really cool show, which I'll tell you guys about a little bit later. I'll tell you about it now. It's really cool. So I've been a musician my whole life. I play the drum set. And I play with this wonderful group. We got to play for a three-church service downtown Seattle, and there was probably 800 or 900 people there. It was awesome. I felt like a rock star, a little bit like a rock star. Some of you guys know I wear sunglasses. I may need to put these on. I have a syndrome that people that come back from war suffer from. That was a result of my violence I experienced as a young person for a prolonged period of time. So one of the things I do to treat that is wear sunglasses. So I really will look like a rock star at times. Anyway, it's really fun. That was fun. But you know, having that big music event, and then moving, and I had eight helpers. That for me is a real sign of recovery. I didn't do it myself, and my God blessed me with helpers. I was very diversified in my help. I had program help, church help, and work colleagues help me. So that was really cool. Anyways, it's been a busy time. So it's just really, I think it's kind of funny how my higher power works. I think my higher power knows I need service, and so that's what this is, and this is a real blessing. Hey, these are my pictures. Feel free to peruse these, and if at the 15-minute mark, if you guys could bring it up to me, that'd be great. You can see my...
Everyone's going around? Okay, I got my hat.
You can see my mug. Those are before and after. I came into the fellowship in anorexic mode. I go all directions. At the time I was about, I think I was 135 pounds, white as a ghost, and people were worried about me for good reason. Anorexia is fatal to life for, I believe, about 30% of people. I'm glad I wasn't one of those so far. I'll give you a brief just picture of what my compulsive eating is. I want to keep it brief. My compulsive eating is sugar is like cocaine for me. Once I have it, I go into a fantasy. I get high. I'm drunk. When I drink fruit juice, I get drunk. I was drunk all the time, and I didn't know it, but my friends knew it. They'd say, "What's wrong with you? You know, I just had a fruit drink." I crave sugar. I crave flour. If you guys saw me eat that now, I turn red. Very, very similar to alcoholism. My focus goes right onto the food and nothing else. It's like I zoom in, and I can't stop eating it, and it ruins my life. I get angry, irritable. I turn just into a very mean person. So bad stuff, you know. I've overeaten, I've undereaten, I've grazed, I've binged, The only thing I haven't done yet is purged, and that's a yet. Have you guys heard of a yet? You're eligible too, so. And and what's scary for me is I'm an addict, you know, I'm going to talk about disease a little bit. That sounds good to me. Purging, that sounds like a good idea, you know. Bad idea, Michael. One of the things I want to share is I heard this in the last speaker, and I really thank the speaker. What I want to share is that working the steps doesn't mean that my disease is diminished. I still have the disease, just like alcoholics did. Some of you might have heard this. I'm pretty sure Bill W., I don't know this for sure. What I heard is when he died, he had a distended stomach. His disease of alcoholism progressed, even though he had had a drop for years. And that's how it is with my compulsive eating. That's something I really want to remember. As I heard in this last speaker, when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to be a compulsive eater. I have a fatal chronic disorder. And it's progressive, even though I haven't had sugar in 16 days, 16 years, and 17 days. I'm glad it's not 17 days and 16 hours. So I just want to remember that. You know, it's a disease of perception. I listen to AA speakers. I haven't in quite a few years, but I've had in the past, and they talk about this. They speak of, and this is a great example, I'll share my disease of perception. When I go to my voicemail, sometimes I won't have any voicemails. When I listen to my voicemails on my phone. And what it says is, you have no voicemails. What I hear is, hey loser, you have no voicemails. No one loves you. That's my disease. That's called a disease of perception. Normal people don't do that. Oh, I have no voicemails. I'm not normal. One of my old ideas, you know, these are just weird things I deal with. I am an insane person, and I may not come across as that now, but I am. And I'm very insane. I'm very blessed, and I'll share more about that too. But one of the things I've specialized in is taking a normal context and doing inappropriate things in that context. Like one of the things I do is I drive, I like to form bonds with people that get behind me, like intimacy bonds. That's not normal. another thing for me is I used work as family. Part of that was I understand why I did that. Because people were nice to me at work. I remember when I first started working professionally, that was probably in the early 90s when I started working professionally out of college. And I remember how nice people were to me. I was almost like, back off. Why are you being so nice to me? What would they say? They'd say, hi, Michael. They were just kind to me. But what I learned is, oh, work is intimacy. And now I've learned, you know, many years later that's not, work is work. I say this to myself often, work? Why am I at work? They pay me a lot of money, and it's a conditional contract. I need to perform a task, or I won't be able to stay here. That's what work is. But in my mind, part of my disease is the perception issue. I perceive, oh, they like me. You know, and it's not a place to build intimate relationships again. I want to talk a little bit about abstinence. One of the things I'll share with you guys is it's not easy. I spend 15, 20 hours a week in my program. You know, I'm one that has a really bad disease because I can't go and buy prepared meats. I can't eat them. I have to cook all my own meats. I go grocery shopping. I go to my meeting. I make a lot of calls. I do the HOW program. I weigh and measure. And I just want to say that it's a lot of work. And, you know, we're struck abstinent. But for me, I'm struck willing to do the work. And I have to do the work. No one does it for me. Sometimes I get mad at God. Just last night I prayed a prayer. Would you weigh and measure my meals tonight? He said no. You know, I heard a speaker say, the guy that wrote Acceptance is the Key, that guy that wrote in the big book, he said, God does all the worry and I have to do all the damn work. And that's the case for me. For me, abstinence, for me, it was like, okay, I got to do this. I'm handicapped. I don't want to be a drunk. I don't want to be an angry person. I'm already angry enough. So I make a priority. I schedule it into my day. I do a daily action plan that really helps me. I have one in my pocket. I write down, okay, this is when I'm going to do my food prep. I do it at night before, call it into my sponsor the next day. You know, one of my worst fears was I'm not going to have a life. And I made up a motto. My motto is I have no life to have life. This is a part-time job. But it gives me life in all elements of my life. That's what I love about it. And it's worth it to me. But more than just being worth it because of the basics, I don't want to be a drunk. When I see my Creator, I want my Creator to say, good job, Michael. You did everything I wanted you to do. Not, well, I'm glad you're here, but you kind of had a hard time down there, huh? Welcome anyway. One of the things, you know, I invite God into little places in every area of my life. Like when I'm weighing and measuring, I play little games. Like I'll share a tip with you guys if there's any weigh and measurers here. Like one of the things I don't like to do is if I'm doing frozen fruit, I don't like to have to cut the fruit to make it 4 ounces or whatever. So one of the things I learned to do is so you can pile it up. You know where it's on the scale, and it gets up to 5 ounces, and then you pluck out just the amount of right of fruit, so it's 4 ounces. So that's one way I learned. I know it's kind of silly, but hey, when you got to do what you got to do to make this stuff fun. The other thing that I do is one of the things I play. I partner with God, and I play games with weighing and measuring. Like, okay, if I have like 6 or 7 things that are. I know what the measurements get. I know all the measurements, but for example, let's say my snacks are 5 ounces. What I do is I see if I can get it right the first time. So if I'm doing my protein, I put in the 5 ounces. I guess to be 5 ounces. I put it on the scale, and then if it's 5, I got the first one. So I'll do that. Sometimes I've got like 6 in a row, and when I kind of get on a roll, and. And it's fun because I feel like God's on my back, you know, and one of the things, and I really do. I mean, I could feel God, and, you know, I heard there's a movie, I'm not going to quote the movie, so I'll be within our traditions, but the movie is, this runner says, Jenny, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And I feel that when I'm weighing and measuring sometimes. You kind of get into a rhythm. It's fun. And so I do that. I think my record is 6 perfect 5s in a row, so... See if you guys can beat that. Can you beat that? I just want to say, so, you know, let's talk about gratitude a little bit. My sponsors in OA, I've had wonderful sponsors, none of whom are abstinent today. My first sponsor was wonderful. I love the way he spoke to me. The first words he spoke to me as my sponsor was, he had a great way of speaking. He said, why don't you want to get well? That's how he spoke. And I love him to this day. There's something about your first sponsor. It's a really special thing. And then my second sponsor after that was a really great gal. We worked together for a long time. She was really cool. We had great conversations. And she was a good sponsor. Then she went out. And we also developed an inappropriate, which I'm a specialist at, it became where she wanted to share more than I shared kind of thing. I didn't have good boundaries at the time, and so that relationship ended. And she was married. I call that an emotional affair. If you guys want any tips on how to conduct an emotional affair, I'm really good at that. I don't do that anymore. But you know, you know, we don't know what we don't know. That's kind of how it was for me. I didn't know. I just did what I did. You know, I had emotional incestuous affairs with almost every woman in my life, and then you start to learn, and now I don't have any. But that's taken 23 and a half years. Then my next sponsor was a really cool guy. He was really cool. One time I was really into the disease, and I'll never forget him. He was a powerhouse. He was a horn player, so he had pipes. And one time I was in the food, and he goes, he yelled into the phone several times. He goes, "You're in the effing phone." He didn't use the word effing, by the way. He used the full meal deal, if you will. That was I'll never forget. I was like, "What are you talking about, man?" And I could have lost my abstinence, and he saved my, you know what? I won't say the food word. He saved my behind. Do I have 5 minutes left?
You have five more minutes.
Gosh, it goes fast. Anyways, grateful for my sponsors. My current sponsor is wonderful. I highly recommend this for abstinence. I call my sponsor. This is one thing that none of my sponsors did, and all my past sponsors are not abstinent, and that is calling every single morning. So I've done that for 16 years and 17 days, and I'll do it tomorrow morning at 6:45. Hopefully, if I'm willing. I certainly am. Nuclear self-care helps me my abstinence. I'm not a well man. I need more self-care than earthlings. Daily inventories are wonderful. Fearless. I do 10 steps. I do spot checks when I need to. I've taken the steps 1 through 12 with a sponsor. Highly recommend that. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like having 9 undone assignments on your desk, and with each 9 step, one of those goes away. That's what it feels like to do the steps internally. That's a wonderful thing. It makes you light. I do a daily gratitude list. I do this when I'm washing my dishes. So during my dishes, I always start with my first gratitude, which is my car. So I always might start with, "Thank you, God, for my car." And then I go through the day. "Thank you, God, for the meeting this morning. Thank you for my boss. Thank you that Sarah smiled at me today." And I just start through, and boy, before I know it, I got 30 or 40, 41's done. Gratitude for me is seeing the disease. I have to say, I just saw this this week. I saw a friend of mine who's back out there. Oh my goodness, it frightens me, because he is me. And so I saw one of my family members is an active food addict. And I remember I was there. By the way, I recommend for Thanksgiving going the next day. That's what I like to do. I go after Thanksgiving. That's really helped, because I don't do well being around active food addicts. It triggers me. So that helps. Somebody just asked me, because he knows I'm in the food program. He asked me, he wants to start a fast program. He said, "Hey, would you be my fast sponsor?" Because he knows I'm in the food program. And I told him gently, "No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I might be triggered by it." But it was good reminders, because I mean, before the program, I would try anything except the program. And so I just want to stay in the program because it's working for a long time. I will close with this, some things about God. I'm sorry, if you guys want, you can read my notes in the back page. I won't be able to get to them, so go ahead and just take a quick peruse. Really? Do you seriously?
Yes.
You want to, Judith, you stop me when it's drop dead time to stop. Hopefully I won't.
Okay, you let me know.
Hopefully I won't drop dead. That'd be a bad way to end. Well, what I'll share with you guys is, God found me. I didn't find God, and I'm really grateful. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I truly have an angelic special needs committee for Michael, and my God has saved my life hundreds of times. Part of my disorder is fatal, and my higher power steps in. And one of the things I want to share is I am amazed how intimately aware my higher power is of me and my disorders. It's unbelievable. And so I can say to you guys with 100% assurity that I know there's a God, and my God knows me well. And my God is awesome, because my God steps in just when I need it, even when I don't know I need it. So I just want to pass it along, because I just, oh my gosh, it's wonderful. What I want to share with you guys is I know this. God has a plan for my life. And the degree to which I can plug into that is awesome. And I'm going to share with you a story about my current workplace. So I had been abstinent for 16 years, and starting in 2008, my warlike syndrome began to affect me. And what happened is, I started having all these symptoms. I get anxious. My throat closes up. Anyway, all kinds of things that happen that are life, they just halt my life. So what happened was, at one time I had to quit my job, my dream job. I worked in the NFL, if you will, in my industry for 9 years, and they loved my work and I loved what I did. And I could just feel internally the door closing, even my higher power saying in an audible way to me, you are going to be working at this next place. And I'll share with you guys one of the things. When I was 19, I said to a friend in Alaska, I said, I want to change the world. Mm-hmm. And the first place I worked at in 2003 has the word world in it. And what this organization does is we help the poorest of the poor. I worked there 9 years. That door started opening. I ran out of there because in that industry, so many of us have the syndrome that I have in that industry. So I said, I ran from God. And I ran as far as I could, but yet I was following. Well, just to make a long story short, my current job, guess what word is in the name of my current employer? World. I'm doing the same thing. I tried to run as far as away, and I couldn't. And it was just amazing. It's like, I just want to say, God has a plan for my life. And it's so fun to follow it. You know what they've done for me at this job? I have my own office. There are people that have been there years, they don't have their own office. Anyway, I could give you accommodations. You should see me. It's like, I feel like I could say, can you give me caviar? And they say, sure, would you like brown or black caviar? I mean, it's unbelievable. So they have accommodated me. That brings me to my next thing when I want to share is whatever your weakness is, I'll tell you what I've done is I have come out in the world since 2008. Before that, I didn't need to. I was normal. I looked normal. I was normal, although I always thought something was wrong. But what it was this syndrome that I'm dealing with now, and I probably may never get over this. Well, I just want to share with any of you that what's helped is it's been so great to be honest with who I am and watch people accommodate me. It's incredible. And so God's blessing my socks off in my job. It's wonderful. As long as I stay abstinent. That's the key. One of the things I want to share that's learned for me in my relationship with God is probably the essential thing that God's doing in my life is building my character. So God wants to see how I'm going to react in adversity. God wants to see how honest I'm going to be. God wants to see how I treat people when things are hard. And so that's the thing that I really had to work toward. So I'm going to share, I'll close up here, just a couple of things that are cool. So when I moved here, I lived in Federal Way for 10 years. And then when I started this new job 2 years ago, or 1 year ago, basically full time, one of the things, I'll tell you how God speaks to me. I was working with somebody, and they said, I was wondering, where should I live? And I remember at one point, my friend looked at me and he goes, you need to live in Shoreline. And I was like, I heard God. I said, God, that was God. That God speaks me through people like that. I hear it. And afterwards, my friend said, boy, I don't know where that came from. And I said, I do. That was God. He goes, I thought. And he said, I thought that was God too. So, well, I'll tell you why I want to share that with you is, man, when I listen to God, things go better. That's what I've learned in my life. And, you know, if I didn't live where I live, my commute would be horrible. Guess what my commute is? 15 minutes door to door. 15 minutes. It's so cool. So I just want to pitch for step 11. And, you know, we talk about as we understand God, what I learned about that, it means as Michael best relates and hears God. That's what that means. How I best experience God in my personal way. So God finds ways to do that, and it's usually fun. It's kind of fun. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Lessons. This is something I wish people would have told me. This life is really, really important. I'm going to use this word for me. I believe my eternity is decided in this life. So for me, this life is really important. I want to pass it along. Second, I wish I would have documented more miracles. By the way, I have notebooks full of them. I wish I could have done more. And that's what I encourage everyone, if you wanted to do, document your life, because it's so helpful to others. The other thing I want to share is anything I do wholeheartedly, I enjoy. If I need to clean this floor and I do it with vigor, I like it. And the last thing, I think this is the most important one that I wish people would have told me, is how I treat me today will impact me later. You know, I have a lot of bodily things because I was harmful to my body. So for young people, I encourage you to be kind to your body. You know, we food addicts, we can be very punishing to ourselves. I would just say, be kind to your body, be kind to yourself, get rest, so we can live a robust, long life, which is so antithetical to food addiction, which is a curtailed, you know, life. And so that's what I wish I would have known. So, you know, I kind of hobble along, but hey, it's really helpful. I can pass along things that I wish I could learn. I do some of these things now too, so hopefully I do all of them. So bless all of you. This is wonderful. I always wanted to speak at Attitude of Gratitude, and who would have thought that you show up disheveled at a meeting and Judith, you would ask me, so I really appreciate it. Bless each one of you, and thank you.